According to a research by Dove and LinkedIn, 25% of black women believe they were denied a job interview because of their hair. Interestingly enough, black women's hair is 2.5 times more likely to be perceived as unprofessional. This bias towards black women's hair trickles down into entrepreneurship and sometimes the way we show up in our business. My guests for today's podcast are the founders of Curly Print and Toronto Curly Girl Meetup. Their mission is to bring back power and education into your curls. Without further ado, here is episode 11 of Business and Culture Podcast. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Business and Culture Podcast. Today we're going to be turning in a different direction because this is a topic that is very near and dear to me as a black woman. We're going to be talking about hair and how that connects to us as entrepreneurs, women in business, but also I am joined with some really wonderful women who are doing awesome work in not only bringing awareness to natural hair, helping us embrace it, but they are also doing their own part in supporting women-led businesses here in Toronto. So thank you again for joining me, Camilla and Candicia. I was so nervous that I was going to mess up the name, but I did it.
Girl, are you good?
You wouldn't be the first, trust me.
Well, I'm glad that we got it good today, but
yes.
Yeah, so let's talk about hair. So I know a lot of people have probably seen the recent ad campaign on LinkedIn. So it was, I believe it's from Dove, where they had black women whose like one side of their face has their natural hair and the other side is like an extension or something. As y'all can see, if you're watching this on YouTube, I have on my wig because we're keeping the hair protected today, okay? But that doesn't mean that I don't love my hair, just putting that out there. But I really liked the campaign because it was really showing how a lot of us as black women feel when it comes onto our hair. And I want to hear more about your story, how you got into starting your own movement of helping women embrace their curly hair.
Yeah, so I would say from a cultural standpoint, it really started from the women in our family. So back in the 90s when we were growing up, everybody had chemically straightened hair. So at the time, that was all we really knew and that's all we really saw. And my sister at the time, she was actually one of the first to go ahead and get her hair chemically straightened. And I saw how effortless it was and I saw how easy it was in terms of like, you know, creating hairstyles and getting up in the morning and just quickly, you know, fluff out her hair and be done. And I really just wanted that same effortlessness because at the time, my natural hair, I was starting to fall out of love with it. So after seeing her do it, I went ahead and I also chemically straightened my hair. And as the time progressed, long story short is that I went to go and get my roots retouched with the perm. And all of a sudden, as she was washing my hair out, all of my hair started like falling out in the sink. So yeah, so I had a perm accident. It just started dropping and breaking as she was rinsing it out. It just kept falling out. And at the time I was a senior in high school. So this was super traumatic for me because, you know, in your teenage years, you know, you want to look your best. But also around that time too, I also had graduation photos coming up. So I remember that my sister, she actually helped me like curl wand my hair. We tried to like, you know, hide some bald spots and stuff. Like it was a whole mess.
Wow.
Yeah, it was such an ordeal. But after going through that, you know, after that day when I took my photos, I was just like, you know what? I really have to regrow my hair. What am I going to do? And at the time, YouTube was just emerging. So this was like almost around like 10, 12 years ago. So YouTube was just starting up and there wasn't a lot of natural hair videos as there were now. So I was just trying to find any way possible that I could learn how to regrow my hair. So I was trying some DIY products, some DIY hair masks and things like that. And over time, my hair started growing out and I realized like, wow, my hair is actually a curly texture. And I never really had that image in my head of that's what my hair looked like because for so long I had chemically straightened my hair. I had forgotten what my natural hair felt like and looked like. So as that journey progressed and I was, you know, just really starting to try and fall in love with my hair, I decided to document my journey. So I started to create YouTube videos for my YouTube channel and just documenting my journey of regrowing my hair and refiguring out like what it really means to have natural hair textures and how to fall in love with it again. And after that, honestly, it's been a love story ever since. My sister has also, you know, followed suit, and she started to grow out her naturally permed hair as well. And yeah, we've really just started from there.
Wow, that's so crazy how you had like that story of your hair. Mm-hmm. I actually had like a story of my hair when it got permed. You know, the first time I got my hair permed, it was like I was in the 9th grade. So this was when I was living in Jamaica, and at the time everybody and their granny had perm hair in school. I was like the only natural hair person, and what made my mom bring me to get it permed is because my school didn't allow us to wear braids or extensions. Yeah, even if it looked natural. So I remember there was a time my mom used to like braid my hair, and like, you know, those natural kinky braids, that's what she used because my hair was so light, it would just mess up after a week and then she would have to do it all over again. So she's like, you know what, let's go get you your hair, you know, bring you to go get your hair perm. I went and I did it. The hair was bouncy. Like nobody could talk to me. Okay. And it was going great. But then because it's chemical, my hair was getting dry. It wasn't having that luscious look anymore, that moisture. I would get burnt every time I went to do my hair. And it took a lot of like work to get it back to a healthy state. So I actually switched hairdressers, and whatever they were doing was working, helping me retain my length again. But I really didn't know how to take care of my hair, so I just kept it perm. It wasn't until I was living in Newfoundland, that's where I went to school in Canada. Yeah. I was forced to go natural.
Yeah.
And that made me appreciate my hair more because I didn't have that environment to like judge me anymore about my hair. Because truth be told, I felt like I was judged a lot for my hair when I lived in Jamaica. It's recently, I think, a lot of people have been embracing it, no more natural, even accepting puffs by, you know, if you have 4C hair. Because there was a certain texture I would say people would be more inclined to like if it's natural. And for a very long time, I didn't see myself and my hair being accepted. So when I did go natural, just seeing the little curls come through or just picking it all out so it's like this big old fro, like I loved everything about it. But I would say was struggling professionally to wear my hair naturally, and that is something that I have to deal with even today. Like, yes, I wear wigs to kind of like help to keep it protected. It's also like a way for me to not have to mess with my hair too much while it's growing. But I will be lying if I said that sometimes I feel like I get more compliments when I wear these types of things versus wearing my natural hair. So I think subconsciously, if I'm being honest, maybe I do wear these things because I notice I get more compliments when I do. So I would say it's a work in progress for sure. Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah. I feel like everyone has like a story surrounding their hair, and it's important for us to share these stories and talk about it. So honestly, like, yeah, all of us has a different story, a different experience with our natural hair.
And I feel like too, like culturally, like we're able to, you know, create that safe space, because if all of us have a very like similar, if not, you know, like kind of a similar experience with our hair and, you know, having to regrow it and having to re-love it again, it's like you kind of just feel like you're not alone in this. And yeah. I think that's what's super important about creating a community, is that you feel like your stories are being heard and they're being loved on. And again, like it's something that we could even pass on to like younger girls and younger kids, and, you know, make them realize as well, like they may go through bullying or they may go through, you know, challenges and situations where their hair might get mocked or looked at or whatever the case may be, but just reminding them that they are loved. And as an adult, you know, even though we've gone through our own journeys, like they too can also love their hair as well. So it also creates like a beautiful safe space for everybody.
I 100% agree. Mm-hmm. That is, yeah, it's definitely a journey. And I know a lot of us, we have a roller coaster ride of, you know, loving it, falling in love again with it, not loving it. Because, you know, sometimes with the weather changes, being here in Canada,
your hair also goes by the season. Like, yeah, 1 minute it's like luscious, it's she's yes, participating, you know, she's cooperating with you, and then the next minute she's like, yeah, I don't feel like giving you a good time today.
Yeah.
All right, so I really loved what you mentioned earlier about community, so we're gonna segue to talk about what is it that you currently do with your, I'm gonna call it your natural hair community, the curly hair community. So tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, so we actually have two brands that we own that surrounding the natural hair movement. So our first brand is called Curly Prince, which is apparel that celebrates natural curly hair. I'm actually kind of wearing it right now. So we have sweaters, t-shirts, hoodies, crew necks, you can name it, just celebrating natural curly hair and just having a community that, you know, understands and that we're there for each other and it's a safe space. So that's Curly Prince. And then we also have an event-based business that's called Toronto Curly Girl Meetup that also celebrates natural curly hair as well. So what it is, it's an annual event in Toronto that just celebrates natural curly hair. So we have different things at the event, such as workshops. We have a panel discussion with curly hair content creators, as well as industry experts, just have a conversation surrounding natural curly hair, maybe whatever is like the latest topic at the time, like styling techniques for different hair types and things like that. And then we also have a vendor marketplace as well that highlights women-owned businesses in the city where they can, you know, come out and showcase their products and have it sold for everyone to, you know, shop from. And then we have like photo op moments, activations, different activities that people can enjoy and just have a safe space just talking about natural curly hair and the importance of it. And just the surrounding idea of, you know, like empowering every woman that's there and just being able to, you know, celebrate natural curly hair at the end of the day, because it is beautiful and it is important.
Awesome. And I think what I want some people to also get out of this episode is that entrepreneurship doesn't have to look one specific way, because I think sometimes people have an image of what it's supposed to be and simply like a desire and a passion for something allowed you to start an apparel, you know, brand wear business, and then that apparel brand business then tied together with that community-based event that you do. And I'm sure at these events you have a lot of women who come there who are probably in their career or they're branching out into entrepreneurship. I think at this point, almost everyone has their hand in entrepreneurship in some way, shape, or form, because we all know we can't have one source of income anymore. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure that women who attend the event, you know, as you mentioned, it's a safe space for them to feel heard and see that they can relate to other people just like them. But I do want whoever is listening or watching this, remembering that our hair doesn't define us. So even in entrepreneurship, there are a lot of tactical things people talk about, you know, here's a website to use to do this, to grow your business, or here's a business idea. But the way you feel about yourself will ultimately also show up in your business. And I want us to start being like very proud of that side of us, because it is a part of us. We can't change that part of us. And yeah, just be unapologetic about it. And you have a community here who is here to listen, to make you feel heard and feel seen. So I want to learn a bit more about your online market that you have. How can women, because you said it's for women entrepreneurs, how can they get their products showcased in your marketplace?
Yeah, so we actually have like an open application. So if you go to either our Instagram or from our website, you can either contact us through email, which is at torontocurlygirlmeetup@gmail.com. Or if you go to our Instagram page, we also have a link in our bio where you can apply and just tell us more about your business, what you do, what products do you sell, and you'll be either contacted by one of us, and we'll just go through the process of accepting and also, you know, making sure that your products are here in-house, so then we can ship out your products for you. We also market those products that are under our website as well. So creating social media content with them and making sure that people get to know your brand and get to know the products and stuff is something that we also offer with our retail portion of our website.
Okay, perfect. Wow, so many good things out there. There are a lot of resources out there, I'm realizing, for there's like a space for everyone who wants to be seen with their business or their product. So I'm going to put all the information to this in the show notes, which you can also find in the description box if you're watching this on YouTube. So are we going to have another in-person event soon? Like,
ooh,
that's a very good question.
Yes. So we actually have our upcoming event in May, which is our kickoff lineup for this year. So that's going to be more of a smaller scale to our main event. And our main event, our main experience is going to be in August. So it's going to be a full-blown, you know, thing with our panel discussion, workshops, activations, activities, vendor marketplace, so many different things mixed in one space. So we have those two events coming up, and then we have one in the fall coming up as well. So we have a whole lineup for this year that we're super excited to bring to Toronto.
Wow, that's amazing. So I would encourage you, if this is something you're interested in, go and follow them on Instagram. So you're up to date. So as I mentioned, all the information will be in the show notes, or you can find it on YouTube, the description box. Okay, so we have talked so much about hair, and I mean, for those who get it, will get it. That's all I will have to say. entrepreneurship is it, there's a lot that goes into it for sure, and I just want people to also understand that for some of us, we have to consider so many things apart from how well our business can do or skills. Sometimes we're looking at something like our hair, and it might not seem like a big deal for some people, but it goes into a lot of us being hired in some workplaces. So it is an important conversation for us to have. And I hope that you felt seen and heard in this episode. And I want to thank both of you for sharing with me today. And yeah, a lot of what you said resonated with me. So it's good to know I'm not alone in this.
Yes, that's the whole goal of this whole thing, honestly.
Yeah.
Perfect. So I have a new segment that I started on the podcast called Biz Nuggets. So it's a chance for you. Yes, it's a chance for you to give your best business advice to any newbies or emerging entrepreneurs out there. What would you say?
I love that segment name. Like, yes. Wow.
Thank you. I just started it.
Love it. Oh my gosh. Best business advice. Ooh, that's honestly, I wish, like, there's so much, but I would personally say if you have a dream and you feel passionate about that dream, go all in. Like, I feel like life is so short, and it can be, we stumble on the what ifs, we stumble on like the aesthetics, we stumble on the funding, we stumble on all of these like bigger challenges and stuff that we hear like through social media or through our friends and through our family. And sometimes like when it comes to a dream, it may not make sense for everybody, but as long as you're passionate about it, I say go 100% in and just give your full effort, and you just never know where it might change your life.
Wow, I love that. Do you have one for us too, Camilla?
Yes. Like Kanisha said, there's so many different things that I love to offer people, but I would say kind of going along with Kanisha, just start. Like literally just start. That is the stepping stone to doing this whole thing. You just have to start, because I feel like if you stay in that period of being like, oh, I don't know. Like, should I push it back? Whatever it is. The very decision of starting could be the very point that you change your life. You know what I mean? Like, if you're passionate about something, like Kanisha said, like, you just got to go for it. Just forget about, you know, like, oh, this isn't perfect, I don't know what I'm doing yet. You just got to start. Like, that's the first step, honestly.
Yeah. And awesome. So just kind of like to segue off of my sister just for a little bit, it's even for us too, like when it came to like an education standpoint, my sister and I mean, my sister has a diploma in marketing, but for me personally, like I don't have the education backing to even like from a societal standpoint to say to own a business. Never been to business school, never taken a business course in my life. But again, it just literally started from a life experience. And from this life experience, even at home, and, you know, being able to share our stories and stuff with our mom and our aunts and our cousins and things like that, and we realized how much of an importance it was. We really just had to make do with what we had. And again, we didn't have all the resources, because I feel like sometimes in Canada too, like, there's a lot of resources that us Black women, we don't get a touch on, or we don't get our hands on. And even though that was a deterrent, it definitely didn't stop us from what we wanted to do. So even from an educational standpoint, you don't have to go to business school. You don't have to do all of these things. As long as you have a dream and a passion to do something, like my sister was saying, like, just start. That's all you have to do, is just start.
I love that. And I think that is a beautiful note for us to end off today. I want to thank both of you again for coming and speaking with me today. A much needed conversation to have. And thank you again for taking the time out for talking with me today.
Thank you so much. Yeah, like, we loved that we had this opportunity to talk to you. And again, like, we really hope that it inspires someone out there. So we really appreciate it, and we really thank you for it.
My pleasure. And to my listeners and viewers, thank you. I hope you are inspired today. Thank you for listening. And I will see you on another episode of Business and Culture Podcast. Bye.
Bye.
I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. If you're listening to the Business and Culture Podcast on Spotify, you can participate in our poll and questions for every single episode. We would love to hear from you and get your feedback. Don't forget to subscribe or follow and leave us a review so we know how you're finding this podcast. Looking forward to you listening to more episodes with more inspiration, more insights, and more business and culture. Catch you in the next episode.